what the, this, what we're going to prove is we're going to start out with the creation. We're going to show the creation in a calendar. We're going to show the flood year on the calendar. We're going to show the Exodus year on the calendar. And we're going to show the Joshua 5 year on a calendar. And it isn't that these calendars are going to be close. These calendars will be exact to the day. So let's get started. Remember when we were doing the short years and I pointed out, well, here you see this year, which is a, you notice that this is a nominal short year. So it would be the starting year. The reason that it would be the starting year is because the starting year started with the seventh day as a Sabbath. And let's continue on now. The total days, we're going to look at something here that until I came up with this particular chart, I could not really connect the solar calendar to the Gregorian calendar. But because of this chart, and it's a rather interesting chart, and I believe that probably no one has ever put together this, these figures in this way. But this chart is going to show some very interesting things as we look at it. You'll see here that this chart, which I call chart 6, starts out on the 19th year. Well, the 19th year is the last year of the 19-year time cycle. And this is, these are the number of cycles. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to 13. These are the 13 cycles. Every 13 cycles, it starts over, doesn't it? And so we have, we start at creation and the first, the 19th year. The total number of days in that year was 6,939. Now, if we go over here, you can see this is the total days of the solar calendar. And by taking the days and adding up those days in the solar calendar, we have 6,939 days. Now, you'll notice 6,939, 40, 40, 40, 39, 40, 39. You see, it never, the solar calendar is very consistent. It is either 39 or it's 40 days, basically. And so when we compare this, we say, and here is a word that's called lag. And what happens is we can calculate how far the calendars are lagging from one to the other. And so when we look at this, in the first 19-year cycle, you will have no lag. The reason is you have the same number of days in both years, and so you have no lag. When we go down here to the 13th cycle, you will see that we have a one-day lag. Now, remember that in this calculation, this 2.0844 hours is the difference. It's what the moon is behind the sun and the earth when they come into alignment. Remember, I said they didn't come into alignment perfectly. They came into alignment almost perfectly, but not quite. There's this lag. And so if you look at this, you'd say, well, in 13 years, every year you're going to have this little lag. Well, naturally, in 19 years, it wouldn't show up. And so at the end of 13 years, you have 13 times this amount. Divided by 24 gives you 1.129 days. And so what do we find here? Well, we find one day lag. And so you can see how this chart 6 is going to follow the moon in effect in the lag. And you're going to see how these days are going to work out. Here in the second 13 years of cycle, you have 2.0884 times 26 divided by 24 is 2.25, and you have a minus 2 days. And here you have a minus 3.38. Here you have a minus 4.51. Here you have a minus 6. You're falling a little bit behind. But here you have 7, and you have 6.27. So you can see how the calendar is going to continue on. And you can see what I'm doing here. Here's the years. I'm following these years. You can see here 2000. Here we're almost at 3000. We go into page 3 and we find that we're in 4,400 years. Here is page 4. We are at 5,928. We're getting close to 6,000 years. And you can see, again, take a look right here. You see it's minus 28. If you calculate that 2.0844 out, it'll be 27.9. So you can see how close it's following. Now we get to where we want to get to, in a sense. We come to a series of these 13 cycles. And we can see that we are now, at the end of that 13th cycle, we're at year 6,175. And, oh, there was one other thing I need to point out. I can point it out here. You'll notice that I got a little star here, and it says 6,016. Well, what that tells me is, and I did this so that I would be cognizant, it is the 128th year. Remember I said we have to subtract a day every 128 years? Well, look at this cycle here. You have 39, 40, 40, 40, and this should be a 39 if you were continuing on with the standard cycle, but it turns into a 38. And what that means is we now have, for this year, a minus 29-day shortfall. And so you can see the importance of that 128. We can go back to page 1, and you can see that it works out the same way here. You can see here's the 128, the first 128 years, 256, 384, et cetera, going right through there. Also, I did include in this chart, 896 is where the calendar starts repeating itself once again. So with this is an extremely important chart because it's going to allow us to combine the solar calendar with the Gregorian calendar eventually. But before we do that, we need to look at some... We need to start, let's say we start with the creation of the seven-day solar calendar and HC, the Hebrew calculated calendar for creation. This would be chart 9. And so the first thing we have to determine is, well, what cycle would we be using? Well, the only cycle that you can use is this cycle that I got marked number 1, and that's the reason it's marked number 1. The only cycle that you can use, you have to have a nominal length of year, which is 354, and you have to have a Tuesday start for the Feast of Trumpets, which in turn would mean that you will have the first Sabbath occurring on the seventh day of that first year. Okay, here we see, I again show you that. Here's that calendar, and it shows, or that this calculation for the determination of how these days fall. And you can see on a Tuesday, first of Tishri falls on a Tuesday, the first day of the year falls on the seventh of that year. Okay, we are now ready to create a calendar. And this calendar is created as a result of the seven-day increments. It's created as a result of that solar calendar. And what we're going to do with these calendars, we're going to take the solar calendar, which is our absolute calendar. Remember, it cannot be changed. It's correct. It cannot be changed. And so what we're going to do is we're going to impose on top of the solar calendar the Hebrew calculated calendar. And we're going to see if the two will work together. And we're going to see whether at the end of 19 years we have no lag occurring. And so we're going to look at this. And there's a lot of interesting things to see. In this chart, you can see that here's a number one. Well, that's the first year. Well, on the first year, there is no question. The first Sabbath is on the seventh, and so the 14th, 21st, 28th, they are Sabbaths. And here we get down to the last Sabbath. It's on the 364th day, right? All right. Now, we're going to look at the Hebrew calculated calendar. We picked that up off of E.H. Lindo's calendar chart. And we see that, of course, the seventh day is the first day based on his Tuesday for the Feast of Trumpets. And you can see they start out 7-7, and the days go along. Now, what we have in the calculated calendar is the average cycle of the moon is 29.5 something. It's over 29 and a half. So what you would do, and through mathematics, you would actually be forced to do this if you handled figures correctly. And E.H. Lindo was a mathematician, and so he would apply for the first month 30 days. And you can see I put this is the month of Nisan, it's 30 days long. Well, what he's doing is he's stealing a half a day from the previous month. So now instead of 29 and a half, it's just 29. And the next month, of course, again, he does the same thing. 30 days, 29 days, 30 days, 29 days, 30 days. And here we get to the seventh month. And the seventh month is the month that designates the first day of the month. And we know that from E.H. Lindo's chart that should be on a Tuesday. Well, if you follow this through, and you'll see here the last Sabbath was on the 28th, 2 days carry over, the next Sabbath is on the 5th. And you keep on going, you'll see that each one of these days is just the addition of the seven-day calendar. And so we get to the seventh month, and it has 30 days. And what happens? It automatically has the first of Tishri on a Tuesday. It's fixed. You cannot move it. It's not movable. You can't change it. You can't adjust it. And I think this is what caused E.H. Lindo to do that. If we carry this through, we can see that I have the write-up here designating the different information that we're going by here. And you can see that this is a 365-day length year. This is a 354. The Hebrew calculated calendar is 354. So what's the difference? Well, that makes a difference of 11 days. So at the end of the year, we should see an 11-day difference at the end of the year, if our calendars are correct. And in fact, this is exactly what we have. The first Sabbath of the second year of creation is on the 6th. And the first Sabbath of the calculated calendar would be on the 17th. 6 from 17 leaves 11. This shows that the two calendars are working. They're working exactly the way they should. So what does this mean? This means that this holy day of the first of Tishri falling on a Tuesday, it had to fall on a Tuesday. It couldn't fall anyplace else. There is no other place for it to be. And so what is it that set the holy day? Well, it was the Sabbath. So the two go together. Well, let's see how it works out for the second year. We're looking at the second year. And so what do you do? You got the 6th, 17th. And what did we say about the second year? Well, there was a one-day carryover, right? So here's the one day. This is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And so this is the second year. 365th day ends up on a Sunday, so the Sabbath is on the 6th. And here, of course, we have the 17th. Well, you can't move that, can you? It's fixed. So here we go. 29 days, 29 days, the 30 day, 29 days, 30 days, 29 days, 30 days, 29 days. And what do we come up with? 30 days. This is the seventh month. And what does it say? It says that the first of Tishri is going to fall on a Sabbath. Well, what did E.H. Lindo's chart show? It showed, if you remember, it showed that second year. We can go back and look at that. You can see the second year, what should happen? The first of Tishri should be on a Saturday. The length of year is 355 days. Let's take a look at that. That's exactly what we have. We have the first of Tishri on a Saturday. So what that means is 355 days. So this is a long year in the short year. And so what happens? Well, we have to add some days in here. So instead of having 30 and 29, we have 30 followed by a 30, followed by a 30, followed by a 29, followed by a 30, followed by a 29, and this is the start, would be the start of the new year. And so if we look at this, we say, well, this year is 365 days long, right? And the Hebrew calculated calendar says 355 days. Well, what's the difference? 10. Well, we had 11 days before. So if we add 10 to 11, what do we get? 21 days, don't we? Oh, look what happened down here. We find that the 26th of the Hebrew calculated calendar of Nisan matches with the fifth day of the solar calendar. Whoa, it looks like we have an absolute calendar here, doesn't it? This is what this is showing. In fact, what this means is it's the fact that every Sabbath day, the start of the Sabbath day, results in a high day Sabbath being called out. And so once that happens, every high day and every Sabbath from that point on follows in the calendar. It doesn't change. It can't change. It's fixed. Let's go to the next year. Here you have year three. And we can see that what's going to happen here in this year? Well, we have a 365-day. Remember, year three, two-day carryover from year two. First Sabbath is on the 5th, the 12th, the 19th. The last Sabbath is on 366th day. Can't change that. That's the way it is. And so now we know that in this year, from our chart that Mr. Lindo gave us, this year it should be a long year, 385 days. 365 minus 385 is 20 days difference. Well, you got 21, now you got 20 from 21, is a one-day difference. At the end of this year, if our calendars are correct, we should see one-day difference. And in fact, that's exactly what we see. One day difference. Here you are. A four. The first Sabbath is going to be on the 4th. The first Sabbath on the Hebrew calculated calendar for the beginning of that year is on the 5th. We carry this through again. Here we have three-day carryover. Just like our chart shows, we should have. The last Sabbath is on 361st day. Exactly the way it should be. And as we go through here, we see that this year is a 354 days long. And so this is a standard year, 30, 29, 30, etc. We get to the seventh month, and it says on the seventh month, we should have a Thursday for the first day of Tishri. And if the first Sabbath is on the 3rd, and you can't change that. It started at creation, continues on. You can't change it. It's a multiple of 7. We see that it's on the 3rd. That's a Thursday. And so when we follow those Sabbath days along, we realize as we get to the end of the year, what are we going to find? Well, we said that we were one day off here. Now it's 354 minus 365. But this is a leap year, isn't it? So the reason I went to the fourth year, to show you that even the leap year, it's going to still work out regardless. Here's the leap year, 366 days, 354 from 366. The difference is 12. So you had 12 and you had one bit left over. So you have 13 days difference. Well, what do we have when we get to the end of this year and the beginning of the next? We have a 2 under a 15. Looks like 13 to me. So what we are really seeing in these calendars is the fact that these calendars verify that the calculated calendar is accurate. It's the calendar we're using, and it is accurate. But there is more to be looked at. We're going to look at several calendars, and we're going to see if those several calendars agree with the biblical explanations, like the flood calendar, like the Exodus calendar, like Joshua 5. Here, what I'm going to show you here, we're looking at the 17th year, the 18th year, and we see, I'm not going to show you all the calendars. You, in the complete accompanying work that accompanies this video, you will be able to see and follow these calendars, each one, to see that they are accurate. But here we are on the 18th year, and you find on the 18th year that we have an 18-day discrepancy between the two calendars. And in fact, that's exactly what we have. 6 from 24 is 18. So we go to the 19th year, and on the 19th year, remember our chart said we should have what? No variation. And so the 19th year, we see that the year length is 385 days. The solar calendar is 365 days. The difference is 18 days. We had 18. 18 minus 18 is 0, and what do we find when we follow the 7-day calendar? Remember, you can't change it. And so we find a 5 from the solar calendar and a 5th day for a Sabbath day for the Hebrew calculated calendar. Quite accurate, quite interesting. Now, I included here a write-up that you can find in the International Standard Biblical Encyclopedia, January 1994 printing, page 305. And one of the main arguments, in a sense, against the calculated calendar is that, well, the calculated calendar, we have no proof that it was in effect. Well, here is physical proof. This is an article talking about a papyrus that was dug up in Sinai, Egypt. And this papyrus was dug up in a synagogue that was where Johanan fled to with the king's daughters to Egypt against Jeremiah's instruction. He said, don't do that. Just stay here. Everything is going to be fine. But they thought that they were looking for the protection of the Pharaoh, the Egyptian Pharaoh, which he failed because Nebuchadnezzar came along and conquered him. But this papyrus was dug up, and this papyrus, what it contained is the calculated calendar. The calculated calendar, it shows the figures for the calculated calendar, along with the holy days, how they fall. And so the reality is that the calculated calendar was in effect before the Babylonian captivity. This is one of the main points that people make. Well, you can't depend on it because the Babylonians, they kept the moon calendar and they affected the Jews, and that's why their calendars are off, because the Babylonians affected them and they didn't have it right. But this shows here, and if you take the time, you can go ahead and read this in the written portion of the presentation. And so we're going to go on, at this point, we're going to go on to the flood calendar. And we're going to see that he says in verse 4 of Genesis 7, God speaks to Noah, stating that after 7 more days, he will cause it to rain on the earth. Then in verse 11, the Sabbath day for that year is given. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. And so here we have one of the important things that we need to recognize about the flood. Now, if we are going to come jump forward and roughly 1656 years in calendars, and we can show that this calculated calendar is still right on, we can show this by demonstrating that it's going to show for this year of the flood, it's going to show that second month, the 17th day, is going to be a Sabbath. And it will also show that that year is going to have 385 days in length, which is right out of your Bible. So it's going to substantiate, the calendars are going to substantiate the account, the biblical account. We're going to see this. Now, most commentaries will take Genesis 5 and go through it, and they'll add up the years, as I show here, 1656, and they'll say, well, this was the year of the flood. Well, was it the year of the flood? I mean, if we think in any kind of normal terminology, it could be, which would mean, in order, if we look at this, what we have here is the length of years that Adam lived until Seth, and the length of years Seth lived until Enos, and et cetera, and you add them all up, plus the 600 years, that he was 600 years old at the beginning of the flood, and if you add all that up, it's 1656. But what it would require, if you think about this, it would mean that every one of these men would have to be born on the exact same day that Adam was born. Otherwise, these days become lengths of time not connected to yearly cycles. So when you add all this up, what you would say is 1,656 years would go by from creation to the flood minimum. It couldn't occur before that, but it could occur any time after that, depending on the length of life or the birth and death of these men that we are looking at here. And so because the cycle of the Hebrew calculated calendar is 2.084 is longer than the corresponding solar calendar of 19 years, well, what I will do is just make it short. Is the fact that what we're going to do is we're going to go into Mr. Lindell's calendar in order to determine where to look at the calendar. We need to know how many cycles are involved in this length. So naturally, you would divide the 1656 by 247, and you'd get a number, and then there would be a bit left over, and you'd take that number that was left over, and it would determine what cycle. And so from creation, we find that then it is in the 10th cycle of the Hebrew calculated calendar, chart 5. Year 3 of the Hebrew calculated calendar is the 13-month year, which would be the first possible year of the flood. The Hebrew calculated calendar for this year is 383 days long. And so I point to the fact that you need to look at the article about Noah's flood on our website. And so we see here, as the Hebrew calculated calendar shows, there is no year that meets the 385-day requirement until 1661. And this is in the range of years that you would find the flood to have occurred in, because that range would be anywhere from 1656 to 1664. That's the possible range that the flood would have occurred. It would have to have occurred in one of those years. And so if we look at this chart, we can see that we have, this is the 10th cycle, and we can look at this 10th cycle, and we can see that the first year length would be 355, and the second, and so on, down to here to 383, which I mentioned. It would be the first long year, but that is not the correct number of days. So if we continue on down, we'll find that here we have 385 days. The question is, would a Thursday start for Tishri end up with the second month, the 17th day, as a Sabbath? That's the question. Well, how do we construct this calendar? That's the next thing that we have to look at. So we look at chart 6, and we know that we should be somewhere here, 1656. Well, the last 19-year cycle ends on 1653, so we would have to start on cycle 10. And you can see that from E.H. Lindell's chart, that's where we were starting. We go to chart number 3, and here, 1653, we find that this is a type 3 year with a 3-day carryover. So our calendar would have to show that for the year 1654, which is where it's going to start. The year 1653 is arrived at by beginning with cycle 1 of chart 5, creation, and going forward in increments of 247 years, which is 6 complete 247-year cycles plus 171 years. And if you divide that out by 19, you end up at this point on chart 6 shows that the Hebrew calculated calendar has gained 8 days. We can go back and you take a look at that, and we can see here's the gain right here. 8 days is what we should find at that juncture. So when we're putting everything together, we should start our calendar with an 8-day lag. So, and we should start our calendar with a 3-day carryover. And this is what we have. Here's the calendar with a 3-day carryover. The first, the second, the third, the fourth is a Sabbath. The 11th is a Sabbath. Well, we said we had to have 8 days, right? So when when we're looking at this, we see that here's our 8 days. 3 versus 11 is 8. And then 10 versus 18 is the 8. So we have the 8 days. It's in there. We also have to find out whether we're meeting the requirement of the Saturday for the first day of Tishri. And that's exactly what we have here. So this is so clear that these calendars cannot be disputed. The calendar, and the absolute solar calendar, we show how it fits. And here we see how E.H. Lindell's calculated calendar, Hebrew calculated calendar, matches perfectly. Well, let's see how it works out when we get to the end of the year. We know that this year is has 355, and the 355 days, 365 days for the solar year, and the difference is 10. And so we had 8 and 10. So what happens is 10 minus 8 leaves 2. And so therefore, we have at the end of the year, this is a Sabbath, and here's a Sabbath for the first Sabbath of the first month of the following years on the 5th. So we have the 2 days. The calendars are following each other perfectly. There's no difference. We can go, I go to the second year showing the same thing. We start out with the 2-day difference. Here's the 2-day difference. What should happen here on the 7th month, you should have a Thursday for the first of of Tishri, and that's exactly puts the Sabbath on the third. And so we find, well, that's right on. It hasn't changed. It's right on. And we find that in this year is 354 days versus 365, and the difference is 11 days. And if we take that 11 days and add it to the two, you should have 13-day difference. And this is exactly what you have. The second is a Sabbath, and the 15th is a Sabbath. It's 13 days. Now, I don't go through all of these calendars. What I do go through is I carry us right to the flood year here. And we can see that here's the year of the flood. What we're looking for is a 385-day year, right? Well, if we go back to E.H. Lindo's calendar, and you can see that I have the dates here, and here I wrote flood in. This is the date for the flood. It's a 385-day. It's a Thursday for the first of Tishri. Okay, let's go back to the calendar for the flood year, and we know that from the previous year that the 2nd versus the 12th, there should be we should have a 10-day difference, and this is what it says here. We should have a 10-day difference, and this was a leap year, by the way. And again, you can see that the leap years, they fit right in regardless because they're accurate, and you, if you divide this out, you'd find that this was a leap year, and so this would be 366 days. So you notice that this was on a Tuesday. The last day here is on a Thursday. We skipped Wednesday. And as a result of that, the calendars come out 12, 2, 10 days like it's supposed to. And so now we come to the year of the flood. And so this year we should find that we have the second month, a 17th day of the second month should be a Sabbath. So here we go, 12th, 19th, 26th, 5, 10, 17. There's the second month. There's the 17th day of the second month. And here we have 385-day year. And as a result of a 385-day versus 365 is a 20-day. You take 10 from the 20, and it leaves you a 10-day difference. And what do we find? The first Sabbath of the following year is on the 5th. And we see the corresponding Sabbath would be on the 15th. You can't count these Sabbaths because these Sabbaths are in the old year. So you have to find out where are you going to be at in the new year. And here you have the 10 days that's required. So in effect, what I've shown you here is the fact that these calendars show you exactly the year of the flood. The year of the flood being 1661. This is the year of the flood. How do we know that it's the year of the flood? Because all of the requirements for the year of the flood fit this calendar. All the requirements of the Bible, being a Sabbath on the 17th of the second month, 385 days, it being within the range that you would need to find the flood as far as the descriptions that we find in the book of Genesis. So here we go. If you had a computer program, you could follow this program month for month, month for month, day for day, Sabbath for Sabbath, right up through the flood year. It would be continually that way. Now, well, why did we go through all that business about the postponements? Well, the postponements have a function. We don't have a calendar that starts in creation and comes forward. I mean, we could, obviously, someone with the smarts could do it, but I don't have those smarts. I could create a program that would allow you to do that. But we don't have that. So what we do have is the postponements. So the postponements allows us to enter in to any specific year and come up with the right requirements for that year. That's all. That's the only purpose for the postponements. They have no other reason for being in existence. But it's a convenient thing, and you would have to recognize that it was pretty important to the Jews because they didn't have computers either. Let's continue on. The point is, it must be remembered that the progression of the weekly Sabbaths is unbreakable. The calendar of the Bible, when the Bible gives a Sabbath date, any calendar not in agreement would be spurious. In the case of the flood, there are two markers, the number of days in the year, 385, and the Sabbath in the second month of that year. This is the second step showing the alignment of the seven-day solar calendar and the Hebrew calculated calendar to the biblical account of the flood. The two are in agreement. We're going to continue on. I'm going to show you that this is not just good for the flood, but it also applies to the Exodus. And here I make a notation establishing the year for the Exodus. Well, how do we know when the Exodus occurred? Well, the Bible will tell us. You may not think so, but the Bible does tell us. The third sabbatical guidepost is found in Exodus 16, where the Bible account relates that in the year of the Exodus, the 15th and the 22nd days of the second month were Sabbaths. This is the account where God rained manna as Genesis 5 gave the potential for the year of the flood. Genesis 11, 10 through 32 gives the range of the years to Abram's departure to the land of Canaan. This will lead to the year of the Exodus. Again, God gives us blocks of time in years, not necessarily corresponding to calendar progression of years. This is the way it is. And here, if you think about Genesis chapter 11, starting in verse 10, gives some dates and ages of God's patriarchs. And here we can see that what he says, that Shem begot Aphax after the flood, 2 years after the flood. So he put two in there. And Aphax, he begat, and it keeps on going right down here to the end, Nahor. And if you add up all these years, you will come with a total of 222 years. So from the flood, God is telling us, he says, well, look, here it is, it's set. Now, there is a little confusion here because when you read the biblical account, you might be fooled, but you have to do a little bit of mathematics here in order to come up with the correct number of years. Now, Terah, who was the son of Nahor, died at the age of 205. He was Abraham's father. At Terah's death, Abraham was 75, meaning that Terah was 130 years old at Abraham's birth. You see, this is an important factor. So adding that to the 222 years gives you 352 years from the flood to Abraham leaving Haran. Well, we're not there, are we? We got some ways to go yet. Well, okay, let's find out. Abraham was 75 when he left Haran. The wanderings, as stated in Exodus 12, 40 through 41, was 430 years to the day. So what he's saying is the wanderings was 430 years to the day. So what you would do is you would add 432 to that 352 of the patriarchs. And you would get 782 years. Adding this to the flood year, 1661, the earliest year for the Exodus, would be 2518 AM. Now, when I say AM, that's after man. These are dates that start from creation and come forward to us. Well, we still aren't there yet. We still aren't able to know how the calendars will mesh, but we're getting there. When considering the time of the year when the birth, from birth to birth, this could be as late as 2526 a.m., that is after man. So, in other words, here's the time frame. Exodus has to occur between 2518 years from creation to 2526 years from creation. It's quite simple. It's strictly mathematical. We continue on. In order to correctly place this date, In the Hebrew calculated calendar, it must first be divided by 247. So we go through the same procedure that we went through to determine what cycle we should be in. And this results us be in this place is the date, 2518, in the 10th year of cycle 3, line 10 of chart 5, page 1. There is an additional marker showing the correct placement of the Exodus. This is found in Numbers 1:1. And this is a rather interesting thing. Most people aren't really aware of the fact. But in Numbers 1:1, God is talking to Moses. And he gives a date. Now, you know, you can say, well, again, what sense does this really make? Well, it makes a very important sense because it's going to give us a key to know when to be able to know accurately when the Exodus occurred. And here's the key. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle meeting on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they came out of the land of Egypt. So what this means is that we are going to have 2 years that start out exactly the same way. You're going to see that the second year has to have the first of Tishri falling on the same day. It has to have the same rotation of Sabbaths that the year of the Exodus has. You have to have 2 years that are exactly, not exactly the same, but they start out exactly the same. They have different number of days in each year. So here we are looking at Seer's cycle 3 that we said we need to start out with. And here we need to start our calendar on this date. Now the reason, the only place that I can start is on a 19-year time cycle. And so this is where we have to start. And so here we see that this should be a Monday for the first of Tishri. And the year length should be 355 days. All right, let's take a look and see if our chart 3, this is the continuous running calendar of 7 days, and if we look here, it's 2508, which would be the previous year, 2509, the year that we started looking at, and we see that, well, here it is a type 1 with a one-day carryover. So that's how we have to start our calendar. Also, when we look at chart 6, it's going to tell us how many days it's going to be in lag on 2508. It's going to be 12 days in lag time. So we have to incorporate that 12-day lag time in our calendar, don't we? So here's the calendar. 1 day carryover, 6 day is a Sabbath. And what we said, there were 12 days of lag time. And so when we look here, 6 and the 13th is the first, is a Sabbath, would be on the 13th. 6 and 7 is 13. And the first day of the month would be on the 1st. The Sabbath would be on the 1st. And there we have our 12 days, don't we? 12 days of lag time. How does this work out? On the 7th month, the first day of Tishri would be on a Monday. Well, the first Sabbath is on the 6th. Well, what does that mean? That means that it's on a Monday. It's on a Monday. We place this on a Monday. And if we figure backward, this has to be the day. You can't change it. It's fixed. It has to be the day. So when we look at that, we said we started out with 12. This is a 355-day year. And we have a 365-day solar year. The difference is 10, so you take 10 from 12, leaves 2. So at the end of the year, we should have a 2-day difference. Voila, we have a 2-day difference. And so all I'm showing here is this is the start of the series of calendars that's going to lead us to the Exodus calendar. And all I'm going to do is I'll show these first two calendars, 2509 and 2510, and they agree, the Sabbaths agree, the holy days agree. The first Sabbath is going to be on a Saturday in 2510, and sure enough, that's where it is. Once you start, you can't move. Everything moves in segments of seven. Can't change it. It's fixed. Now we go to 2518. The reason I show 2518 because I want to just show that it carries forward into 2519. And so when we look at this, we're looking at this year, the Hebrew calculated calendar is 354 days long. The solar calendar is 365 days. The difference is 11 days. 11 days minus 2 days. The difference is it should be 9 days, and that's what it is. We go into this is the year of the Exodus. Now, remember I said the year of the Exodus, we should have 2 years running where we have identical Sabbaths. And that is, in a sense, is part of the proof. It shows that these calendars that I have constructed here are correct. This year, the Hebrew calculated calendar is 385 days long. 365 days from 85 is 20. Remember, we had a difference of 9. So we have here 11 days are left over. 9 from 20 is 11. So when we look down here, we should see that we have 11-day difference. 3 and 14, we have the 11-day difference. And remember, we started out with a 9-day difference. And so we show here a 9-day difference, 17 and 8. And if you carry it forward, you can see in the second month, you have the 17th, 24th. 24 from 30 is 6, so the first Sabbath would be on the first day of the second month. The 8th day, the 15th, and the 22nd. Now you see, remember, Numbers 1 said that the first day of the second month, God met with Moses in the tabernacle. This would be a normal Sabbath. This would be when God would meet with Moses in the tabernacle. It would be on the Sabbaths. And so you can see why I am using this. And you can see the key here. The key being that the Sabbaths occur exactly the same. When you have the first of the Sabbath, the 8th, the 15th, and 22nd. Here in the 520th year, you find the same Sabbath rotation, 1, 8, 15, 22. Also, here's the first month. And remember, the 14th of this month would be the Passover. Well, the 10th of the first month is a Sabbath. So, 11th would be Sunday, the 12th would be Monday, the 13th would be Tuesday, and the 14th would be Wednesday. So we see that the 14th day, the Passover day, falls on a Wednesday for the year of the Exodus. So you can see that the calendar is following the biblical description that we find in Exodus. Exodus and Numbers 1, both of them. So now we're going to go into the dates for Joshua 5. Now, at this point in time, we should remember that what we've done is we've gone through the biblical account of the creation, and we showed how it matches the solar calendar, the absolute calendar, and how it matches the account of the creation. We also have gone through the biblical account of the flood, and we've shown how those calendars match the biblical account of the flood. We followed that with the Exodus and showed how the dates in Exodus and Numbers matched those dates that we found in these calendars, in the Hebrew calculated calendar. And so we have, in effect, all of these dates proving the calculated calendar. We are now going to go into the dates for Joshua 5's Passover, which is the first Passover in the Promised Land. There are some things that a lot of people really aren't aware of. One of these things is the fact that Moses, in effect, did enter the Promised Land. A lot of people think he didn't, but the Bible shows that he did. Another point, in fact, is that, if you don't recognize that Moses was in the Promised Land, you would not also recognize that the Israelites had an adequate time to raise the first crop in order to perform the wave sheaf offering. Now, the objection has always been that, well, you can't have a wave sheaf offering unless you have a crop raised by the Israelites. You can't use a crop raised by the nations that were living in the land at that time. It had to have the purity attached to the crop being raised by the Israelites. And so that's another point. Another point that is important, of course, is the fact that we know that Joshua 5's Passover occurred 40 years after the Exodus. We know the year of the Exodus, so coming through 40 years is relatively easy. There may be some confusion on part as far as, well, how did these days work, these years work out? Because there's a statement in the Bible that we'll take a look at that needs to be explained so that we would understand this. All of these things are required, the explanations of all of these things are required in order for you to understand how Joshua 5's Passover occurred. So let's take a look at this first scripture, and it says, "And the time we took to go from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed over the valley of the Zered was 38 years until all the generation of the men of war was consumed from the midst of the camp, just as the Lord had sworn to them." Well, people say, "Whoa, wait a minute, this is only 38 years. We're supposed to have 40 years. Well, there's an explanation. Here's the explanation. The 40-year trek did not directly apply to the men of war, but to the sons being required to shepherd the flocks in the wilderness. "And your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness." Wilderness, number 1433. And so we have 38 years have passed since God's punishment. This meant that they had completed 39 years and were starting the 40th year. 38 years for the men of war to be consumed, plus the first year in the wilderness, makes 39 years complete. This is confirmed in Deuteronomy 1:3. "Now it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel, according to all that the Lord had given him as commandments to them." So here we see that the Bible places this time at in Deuteronomy at the 40th year, the 11th month of the 40th year. Taking the year of the Exodus, 2519 AM, and adding 39 years to show that Moses died near the end of 2558 AM. The Israelites left Egypt at the beginning of the year, so 2519 AM is included as part of the 40 years. So you see 39 and the 40th year is in the 1 year when they left Exodus. That year it should be included. So there's where you have your 40 years. In order to place 2558 AM into the 7-day solar calendar and the Hebrew calculated calendar, we need to go through that division procedure again. It results in 12 years remainder starts at the beginning of cycle 5, chart 5, page 2. Thus, the Passover of Joshua 5 occurred at the start of the following year, 2559 AM. As we look at chart 6, go back to chart 6, and we can see that the end of 2546, we have a 12-day lag there, don't we? And so this is the year that we would start our calendars out because we need to know how far behind we are at that point in time. We go to chart 3, which is the 7-day calendar, solar calendar. And we look here, we can see that 2545 is a type 10 with a 5-day carryover. And here's 2546 is a type 5 year with a 6-day carryover. So 2547, you can see, would have a zero carryover. Now we go back to the chart, and we see that